This is an ABC podcast.
Hi, I'm Stephen Smiley.
And I'm Ange Lavoie-Pierre, and this is The Signal. The Liberals capped off a week from hell with a loss in the Wentworth by-election, just to complete the set.
Liberals are angry, and they've expressed that. And I want to make something really clear. The result today is on us.
As the dust settles on what looks likely to be a victory for the independent Karen Phelps, the government is going to be asking itself some uncomfortable questions.
I spoke to someone up in Brisbane last week, and she told me that what's happening is there's an eerie silence in the electorate, and they're just waiting to go for us with baseball bats.
So how did the Liberal Party lose the unlosable seat? And are there safe seats about to be threatened by a wave of independent candidates? That's today's ep. So the last time we talked about this on Wednesday, we talked a bunch about what it might mean if Karen Phelps managed to beat the Liberals in the Wentworth by-election, not necessarily expecting her to win.
Right. But then by-elections are weird.
Yes.
And the swing on Saturday was huge.
Yes.
And even though the result isn't official yet, because there is still a bit of counting going on, Karen Phelps looks pretty certain to have won.
Yeah, and like we said when we covered this last time, assuming Karen Phelps has actually won Malcolm Turnbull's old spot in Parliament, that's a blow for the government. It's a psychological blow to its new leader, Scott Morrison, and it means the coalition is now technically a minority government, even though it's unlikely to topple based on what we know about the crossbench so far.
Right, so that's where we got to last time. But today we wanted to talk about how the Liberals got here and if they're going to have to fight some sort of independent insurgency at the next election, and also why the result has been so confusing to follow.
Yeah, because at first you had this super quick declaration that Karen Phelps had won, with the ABC calling the election that night at 7:18 p.m.
And they were all showing the same thing, a swing of more than 20% against the Liberal Party. So I think we can declare Karen Phelps as the winner of the Wentworth by-election.
All right, well, that is a very significant declaration made by the ABC's election analyst, Anthony Green.
I said that if we won the seat of Wentworth, it would make history. And my friends, we have made history.
Liberals are angry, and they've expressed that. None in this room, though, I know. They've expressed that. And I want to make something really clear. The result today is on us, the Liberals, not on Dave Sharma.
The result has been over a little sooner than I expected. I'm certainly glad I kept my day job.
But by Sunday, the coverage of the result had this quite different flavour.
Yeah, all of a sudden it looked like the Liberal candidate, Dave Sharma, might get up after all.
In a dramatic twist, the Wentworth by-election result appears to be much closer than first thought.
Things are a lot tighter today than they were last night. There's no doubt it's down to less than 900 votes now.
I think Karen Phelps's lead will narrow from this point. The question is whether it will narrow enough.
It was a roller coaster. Having been told the night before that it was a clear result, we woke up yesterday morning to, maybe things aren't quite as they seemed the night before. So we're on a nail biter.
So to get to the bottom of all of that, we trapped maybe the busiest man in the entire ABC building inside a studio.
Hi, it's Anthony Green, ABC election analyst.
That's Anthony Green, if you didn't catch it.
Well, on election night, the votes are all counted by the staff of every polling place, but nearly all the staff in the polling place is just day labour. They hide for the day. There's usually someone with more experience supervising them, but they just conduct the count to the best of their ability. They don't do things like check every ballot paper for the number 1 to 16. That just takes too long. So, because there were 16 candidates in Wentworth, what they do in a polling place is nominate beforehand two candidates they think are most likely to finish first and second. Mm-hmm. In this case, it was Dave Sharma from the Liberal Party and Karen Phelps, the Independent. So having counted all the votes after first preferences, they then re-looked at all the ballot papers for the other 14 candidates. On every ballot paper, they worked out who had the lower number, Phelps or Sharma. That indicates the preference would flow to them. And so they tally up the totals for each of the other 14 candidates between Sharma and Phelps, and they put them in this spreadsheet or this document.
Okay, so on Saturday night, the numbers were pretty rough and ready, more of a guide than anything else.
Right, but those numbers were still solid enough that Anthony could see who was ahead. And so knowing what he does about how polling station data works and how the numbers can bounce around, he was able to predict at 7:18 that Phelps would win.
Right, but the day after, things shifted. And suddenly it looked like she hadn't won until it looked like she had again. So we asked Anthony to explain what changed on Sunday and then what changed back.
Well, look, I've used the same model for predicting elections for years, and so it was clear to me that that Karen Phelps had won on the night.
Mm.
And then I got up on Sunday morning and suddenly it was really in doubt, and it didn't make sense to me what had changed overnight. What it basically was that when all the polling places were in, the swing was predicting towards Karen Phelps getting above 54%, and that's what I had, it's what the Liberal Party had, it's what the Labor Party had, and Phelps' team had. We all had the same opinion. What happened after that was then the pre-poll votes came in. The pre-poll votes were much stronger for the Liberal Party than expected, possibly because the campaign changed things, that the Liberal Party had a terrible last week in the campaign, and maybe Phelps' performance was best on polling day because of the madness of the week before.
It, yeah.
And also because perhaps Karen Phelps wasn't as organised in the first week or two of the pre-poll voting. So there's a couple of things there which suggest why the pre-poll voting would be that way. They also counted postal votes on the night. What no one expected was that they would be put in the system at 9 o'clock the next morning.
Mm.
And so everyone was going up, looking at the website and going, what's happened? And the third thing was quite late in the evening, after 9 o'clock, two big polling places came in with the error in the count.
Okay, so two things there. One, which inflated Dave Sharma's lead, namely the huge number of people who voted for him before polling day, either in person or via the post, and one which ended up helping Phelps's numbers, an error in the count in two booths on Saturday, which has now been fixed, which restored her lead by late Sunday.
Right, and all that brings us to where we've ended up now, with Karen Phelps comfortably ahead and with the Liberals facing the astounding reality that a seat that's been theirs since the party was founded is now out of their hands.
Right, and now a lot is being made about how Karen Phelps pulled it off and whether we might be able to see this whole wave of independents following her example and trying to pick off these once safe seats. And we'll get into that later, but first, the Liberal Party, what is it mean for them?
So to answer that one, we tracked down Paul Bongiorno. He's a press gallery veteran, and these days he writes for the Saturday paper.
We can interpret they're in big trouble. You don't get this sort of by-election swing, so close. I mean, we're at the back end now of a three-year term. Sure, we've got 6 or 7 months to run, and it doesn't mean something. I've been speaking to Liberal backbenchers. I spoke to someone up in Brisbane last week, and she told me that what's happening is there's an eerie silence in the electorate, and they're just waiting to go for us with baseball bats, quoting the famous quote of Wayne Goss against Keating. Maybe you guys weren't born then, but anyway, when Keating was heading for a beating many years ago. So I think that that this result is a harbinger for defeat and doom. Now, having said that, I've been around politics long enough to know that nothing is impossible or locked in cement. No election is unwinnable and no election is unlosable. But you would have to say the odds as a result of what happened Saturday point two, a fairly big loss for the coalition government at the next election.
Okay, so the thinking goes, if the coalition is losing seats like Wentworth, which have been super safe for them in the past, then they're in big trouble.
Right, and this feeds a bigger debate that's been raging since well before the Liberals got rid of Malcolm Turnbull 2 months ago, and it's essentially whether the Conservatives in the party, people like Tony Abbott, Peter Dutton, are now so powerful inside it that the Liberal brand has lost its appeal to moderate voters in places like Wentworth.
The argument or the battle between what John Howard used to call the broad church. We're a broad church.
Mm.
But Howard himself set about to make that broad church less broad and more conservative. Howard wanted to move the party a little further to the right, and there was, without a doubt, during the 80s, an attempt to lessen the influence of the moderates. Now, that has worked pretty well in every state except New South Wales. New South Wales, to this point, the Berejiklian government, for example, has basically a moderate ascendancy, if I can put it that way. Mm. But there are a lot of conservatives who are into culture wars, who believe that the base that turns up to the, as members of the local branches, that they're basically what we'd call maybe the Christian right. So we saw examples of that with the enormous resistance to marriage equality. In the end, even Peter Dutton's idea of the plebiscite, that was put forward as a way of actually stopping marriage equality. There was a misread, as I believe these conservatives misread the electorate all the time.
And so, Paul, how did these conservatives get to wield this much power if, as you say, they're out of step with the views of their own individual electorates and perhaps the electorate more broadly?
Well, it is a fact that the members of political parties, of the Liberal Party and to some extent even the National Party, tend to be more conservative than the broader electorate,
yeah.
Just as members of the Labor Party tend to be more left than the broader electorate. But the trick is that you're smart enough to understand that to win an election, you have to appeal beyond your base. In fact, you can't win an election unless you do appeal beyond your base. My view is that the Conservatives have miscalculated, if you like, the breadth of their base. One Liberal moderate said to me a few weeks ago now, I said, if we followed the prescription of Tony Abbott and Erica Betts and the other Conservatives, we'd end up with a primary vote of 28%.
Okay, now obviously how the Liberals fare at the next election will come down to a bunch of things, like how Scott Morrison handles life at the top of a minority government and whether he's willing to budge on stuff like climate change and asylum seekers in the name of winning moderate votes.
Sure, but there's also another story coming out of Wentworth too, of course, and it's that crazy win by an independent, by Karen Phelps. So we wanted to know whether we might be about to see more independents like Karen Phelps contesting elections and winning them.
Right, and Dr. Zari Ghazarian, who's a political scientist at Monash University in Melbourne, reckons we probably will.
I think there is a trend on, and both major parties are losing in this trend. Ultimately, what we're seeing is that over the last 30 to 40-odd years, there has been a growth in the number of parties contesting elections. But secondly, there has been a growth in the vote share won by independents and minor parties. What this means is that the major parties themselves are experiencing some significant trouble, some significant electoral trouble. And as we can see, these independents and minor parties, when the chance comes their way, are grasping it with both hands and going for it.
And obviously, yeah, in the lead up to this, to the by-election in Wentworth, the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, was sort of saying that, you know, that this would be a recipe for instability and basically, you know, disaster. I mean, how do governments respond if this is the new normal? Is just that they're going to have to negotiate with a bunch of disparate independents, both in the House and, as they've become used to in the last few years, the Senate?
Oh, yeah, this is a significant shift. I mean, we didn't really have many cases of minority governments in Australia, especially in the post-war period. But obviously in the last 8 or so years, we've been experiencing that. It suggests to us that voters are no longer scared about giving independents or non-major party candidates the chance of winning and representing them in Parliament.
Okay, so people seem to be getting more comfortable with the idea of ditching both major parties, which could see more independent candidates succeed in the future.
Yeah, but there's an important caveat here, and it's that by-elections are just kooky. Voters just do weird things in by-elections, and independent candidates in local contests in a by-election get way more coverage in the media than they would in a regular election.
Right, so we also asked Anthony Green about this possibility of some kind of independent wave, and he was a lot less convinced.
No, I think everyone's over-extrapolating the Wentworth result. Malcolm Turnbull was very popular as the local MP, and he was Prime Minister, and he was just dumped, and a lot of people in the electorate didn't like that.
Yeah.
So I think trying to sort of extrapolate the Wentworth result elsewhere, I don't think is correct.
Setting aside for a moment whether or not they're likely to be successful, do you think we are likely to see, I guess, you know, an influx of independent candidates on the wave of this kind of optimism in favour of independence?
Probably, but they have to have a profile. As I always say to people, people vote for parties generally because they tend to vote for that party. And occasionally they'll switch between parties. But people vote Labour overwhelmingly because they're Labour voters, and the same with Liberal voters. Independent voters don't vote for an independent because they're an independent. They vote for an independent because they know who they are. Karen Phelps had profile, Ted Mack, Clover Moore, Andrew Wilkie, Peter Andren, Bob Catter, Kath McGowan in Indi had a profile. So you've got to have a profile to run as an independent. There are many independents I see run who are mayors of local councils, and they run and they get 12%. Mm. They're not as well known as they think they are, and I think that's a common phenomena. So to say there's an independent movement, there isn't. There is a vote for an independent if people know who they are.
So everyone needs to take a cold shower, basically.
There is. If someone high profile stood in a seat, they could cause havoc. But realistically, the best seat for an independent to win is a safe seat of one of the major parties, because if you stand in a marginal seat, it's very hard to get ahead of both major parties at the same time. It's much easier to stand in a seat, drive the holding major party's vote under 50, and then scavenge the second major party's first preference vote so you get to second and then maybe win on preferences.
So there you go. If you want to copy Karen Phelps, all you have to do is already be famous, and then you have to pick a seat where only one of the major parties is really bothering to run a serious campaign.
Yeah, and try to do it in a by-election and in a seat where the entire electorate is furious at the last mob and they're really itching to beat the hell out of them at the polls.
That's very straightforward.
That's the episode for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to get in touch, our email is thesignal@abc.net.au, and we'll be back tomorrow. Bye.
Happy Tuesday. Bye.